Our scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So we're back on our regularly scheduled scripture picking processes. This is our lectionary passage for this, the second week of Advent. And again, as I keep saying so many times, Advent is this time of preparation, and this passage perfectly sums that up. But then I also promised and decided we were going to do a little mini sermon series with kid songs and all the problems and gripes that I have with them. And so we're going to keep going with that too. And so our song title today is Kumbaya. Does everybody want to gather together, wrap our arms around one another and sway a little bit and sing Kumbaya? We got some candles here. We can pull out some marshmallows and roast them. Kumbaya. My Lord, Kumbaya. All right, I'll stop. Now, this particular song I don't necessarily have gripes with, but the way in which we invoke the song is what my gripe will be with this morning. But before we get to that, let's look at our scripture. Sometimes when our youth begin to read scripture, we have other volunteers that are reading scripture, whether it is in worship or Sunday school. I always try to give them the pro tip, the tip from the professional. When you're reading scriptures like this and it's got a bunch of names and places and that sort of thing, just say it. Nobody knows how to pronounce it anyways. So whatever you say is right. I may have mispronounced every other word in the first part of these verses in this passage today, but all of it remains the same. Luke writing this, the folks reading it would have had a better understanding of what all of these time points and places would have meant. We get this idea of when Emperor Tiberius was in reign and when Pontius Pilate was ruling over there and Herod was over here and his brother Philip was here there. The original folks that would have heard and understood that would have made sense of this passage. If you told me about the governor here and when the governor was there and the mayor of that town there and 100 years ago, I'd be like, okay, that's great. Tells me nothing, but in the passage, there it is. Starting really in verse 3 is where this passage really begins to have meaning for us. Verse 2, that the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. John, son of Zechariah, we will know him as a different name. Does anybody want to gander a guess? John the Baptist, baptizing folks out in the wilderness. John, this person that is described later with this eccentric look, eating bugs, wearing camel skin, and having belts of all sorts. This was a wild man living out in the wilderness saying wild things. Luke tells us through this passage in Isaiah that he is there to prepare the way. I don't know if you've ever been in a wilderness place that has not had a way prepared. Sometimes I get really excited about where I'm going to be fishing next. And I follow a path along and I look over and I see the river or the creek or the lake and I decide I can't wait to follow this path anymore. I'm just going to go and prepare my own path. By the time I get to the water, my pants are ripped and my skin, I'm all scratched up. Preparing a way for another is an important thing. Madeline and I were down at Veterans Park just yesterday. The creek was frozen. It was wild. We were skipping ice along the ice. It was fun. She kept asking if she could walk across it, but you saw that she's here, so I said no. I said no. Walking down the path, I let Madeline go first, not because I wanted her to run into the spider webs or anything like that, but I realized that the path, as it begins to overgrow, there are these stalks that are leaning over. And as she was walking past them, sometimes she would grab them and sometimes she would just walk and they would do that spring door thing and just whack. And I didn't want her to get hit by those as I walked past them, so I let her go first. Walking down paths can be dangerous, particularly if they have not been prepared for the one coming behind. Now, when the prophet Isaiah is saying these things, Isaiah is a big book. It's a big collection of teachings and warnings and prophecies. And it's broken up into three parts. These prophecies that are recorded in Isaiah take up a vast span of time. The first is warnings to the people, to the Israelites. If you do not change your ways, there will be consequences. And the prophet Isaiah goes into all the different things that they need to be doing to change their ways and turn back to God and all the things that will happen if they do not. Well, as you might or may not guess, the people don't change their ways. They are destroyed, the northern kingdom, by the Babylonians. Now, the Babylonians had this interesting foreign policy that instead of trying to set up vassal states and that sort of thing, they would take all of the important people back to Babylon with them. So when the Israelites, when they are destroyed, when that kingdom falls, all of the priests and the important folks are taken back to Babylon. And they spend a great number of years in Babylon. The second part, which this passage is quoted from in Luke, is from the second portion of Isaiah. They've already been warned to change their ways. They have already failed to do so. They've already been brought low by these Babylonians, and they've already been taken into exile once again to Babylon. Time has passed. The people begin to cry out to God, and God answers them. And the first thing that happens, God promises that one will come preparing a way in the wilderness. Preparing a path, make the hills straight, the valleys will be filled, the mountains and hills made low, the crooked places made straight, the rough ways made smooth. This is literally the path back from Babylon to Jerusalem. When the prophet Isaiah speaks these words, it is a beautiful promise that the people in exile will be brought back, that there will be someone that goes before them to pave and fill that way so that the people can walk back to Jerusalem, be made whole after their exile. Luke takes this understanding, this passage, and applies it to Jesus' life. Applies it to John the Baptist. Like the people in exile in Babylon, the people are now captive by sin. We're held by sin. Jesus will come just as God will liberate the people and bring them back. Christ will come to forgive their sins, but it's going to be a rocky road, and someone needs to prepare the way first. So John is that preparing way. John is that one who will come to prepare that path. Fill in the potholes. It's almost pothole season, isn't it? I drive every weekend picking up and dropping off Madeline. It's both interesting to see how the construction changes as those paths are prepared, and frustrating because I get to see the potholes grow and grow and grow until someone more important than me, I guess, busts a tire or something, and then they get filled. It's interesting. John comes to fill the path, to prepare it, filling those potholes, straightening out those roads, bringing the high places low, so that Christ can come and do his work, can bring us back from this captivity of sin and bring us back into relationship and reconciliation with God. It's incredible. Now I want to talk about the song a little bit. Kumbaya, come by here, Lord. Similar, I think, to this passage in Luke that we've read, come here, Lord. Perhaps we're asking God to come and join us after we have prepared the way. Perhaps we're asking God to come and prepare the path in front of us so that we may continue on our way. I did have to do some research looking into this song, and I fell down my little ADHD rabbit hole doing research, trying to figure things out. You guys ever fall down a rabbit hole doing research? I was helping Madeline do research on a box jellyfish, and she was flipping through the little animal encyclopedia book, and she got stuck on an octopus. I was like, be better than me, Madeline. We're focusing on box jellyfish. Don't let the octopus distract you. I don't know. I was wondering about this song, Kumbaya, that's clearly not the language that I speak. Where has this come from? Oh, it's probably African. It sounds like all the good songs are African. And I learned that that's not quite the case. It's sort of adjacent. There is a culture in the tidewater areas of South Carolina and Georgia around Charleston. And again, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, the Gullah culture. This is a group of people that were brought over as slaves from West Africa. Now, because of the habitat and the ecosystem, their rice-growing abilities in West Africa were utilized in South Carolina. They were brought over as slaves and forced to grow rice because it would grow so well with a similar climate. But because of the area and the way that the coastal area was and the threat of hurricanes and that sort of thing, the slave owners did not really stay in that place to oversee them so much. So the slave owners would be off a little ways, and this became sort of a self-contained community. After the Civil War and after we freed the slaves, after their freedom was bought, this culture continued somewhat in isolation, particularly compared to so many other places. And so all the different African influences and all the new influences that they picked up on this side of the Atlantic, those all began to meld and to come forth into what has become a beautiful culture, including its own language. And so when we read Kumbaya and sing those words, we are singing in their language. Now consider that story. Consider how I've spoken of Kumbaya at the beginning of our service. This is my gripe with the song. Let's all gather together, put aside our differences, toast some marshmallows and sing Kumbaya, and maybe for a moment we'll pretend like nothing is bothering us. That's the sense I get when we speak about this song. How's that feel? Do we get that vibe from saying, let's all sit around and sing Kumbaya? That's the vibe. Think about the culture that this song came out of. This is not a people that sit around pretending that they don't have problems. This is a culture grown and fed and experienced the deepness of slavery. When they are singing, Kumbaya, come by here, God, let it be something incredible. It's not a pretend we're all good. It's a come and make something happen. Someone's crying, Lord. Come be in their presence. Bring them some comfort. Someone's singing, Lord. Come join in their joy. Be with them in this emotion. Someone's praying, Lord. Hear their prayer. Come close to where they are and hear their prayer. John was sent to prepare a way. All of us have had those that have gone before to prepare the paths of our lives that we may walk in the gospel before others. When was the last time you thought about that person that prepared the way for your life to walk in the gospel? Parent, grandparent, Sunday school teacher. I have a great history of incredible Sunday school teachers throughout my life. Miss Dottie Marston was one of them. All of them. Billy Reeder, in their many different ways, paving the path that would become my walk with Christ. Who are those folks for you? We're also called to be those path clearers. Who is coming behind us that we need to clear the path for them? What are the potholes that will make them stumble? Christ had some pretty intense things to say about those that would be stumbling blocks for our young people. What are those stumbling blocks? What are those curves in the road? What are those mountains and hills and valleys that need to be made straight and even? There are those coming behind us that need a path cleared for them. Just as we stand on paths cleared by those that have come before us, there are those after us that need their own path cleared. In this time of preparation, while we're celebrating with friends and family, decorating our homes and our places of worship, down the streets, I saw a beautiful picture of downtown Nicholasville and the lights. In that time of preparation, may we also prepare the paths of Christ's return, that it may be straight and clear, free of low places and stumbling blocks, mountains and hills. Let us prepare the way for the Lord. Amen.